And I expect this week to come here again and preach. So I wasn't very sure about the text, and I text Frederick Lund, and I got no answer from him for 1 week. I don't know what's wrong either. I think it's gone abroad or something like that. So I text many times. Then later I found out. Then I met Elder Peter Goh and said, hey, what's the text? You know the text about this Sunday? It says Acts 1, verse 1 to 8. He said, yes. Oh, see. So I said, I text Frederick Lund. He said, but Frederick Lund, I think he's gone abroad. No, he's here in Singapore. I said, maybe I text him at the wrong time. He was away, I didn't hear there, something like that. He didn't reply. But anyway, one day he replied and said, yeah, it's correct, okay. And so it is Acts 1 to 8, because I have been meditating on this passage. Quite a familiar passage. Many times we look at this passage. It's about evangelism, about we Christians must be evangelists, be witnesses for Christ. Then I look at it more carefully and look at the verses. I look at verse 3, verse 6, and verse 8. And I think we have three prophetic imperatives. And the word imperatives here is used, mean is something that is something unavoided, something that will happen, unavoided. It will not be avoided or evaded. It will happen. So you have these three prophetic events, imperatives, when it will happen. And the first one in verse 3, you can see it is concerning the kingdom of God and how Jesus Christ had been preaching and earth, and then and when John the Baptist carried on, and all the disciples, they all carry on and been saying that the kingdom of God is at hand or near. The first one, the first imperative is the kingdom of God. The second one is the kingdom of Israel. And you'll find that before Jesus Christ was ascended to heaven, and the disciples, Jesus gathered the disciples together with him, and the disciples took that opportunity to ask the Lord Jesus Christ, when will you restore the kingdom of Israel? And Jesus Christ said, it is not for you to know, you know, the time and the seasons. The Father, or whatever is in the hands of the Father, in the power of the Father, you see, is not for you to know. As I was reflecting on, the Lord Jesus Christ did say regarding his second coming, none of us will know. We do not know the time. Even he himself said he doesn't know. Only the Father knows when he will come. And so it is in the power of the Father not to reveal this truth. So in other words, you want to ask for the kingdom of Israel. Well, Jesus Christ said the kingdom of Israel doesn't mean that it will not happen. It will happen, because in the Old Testament, all right, true. And all the apostles, the Jews, have been looking forward to this kingdom where the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest son of David, David's throne is there, and then the greatest son of David, that is none other than Jesus Christ himself, will sit on the throne and reign over the world for 1,000 years. So this is the kingdom of Israel. They are looking forward to when they, the Jews, together with Christ, will rule the whole world. And we, of course, we as Christians will rule with Christ. And the third imperatives in verse 8, and is regarding, be ye witnesses unto me, unto Jesus Christ. Here is a reiteration of the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 to 20. Go ye therefore unto all the ends of the world, you see, first in Jerusalem and Samaria and Judea and to the uttermost parts of the world to preach the gospel, to teach nations and teach them and then baptize them. That is the Great Commission. And so, be ye witnesses unto me. So these three imperatives are all in these eight verses verses 1 to 8. And this is what we want to consider and meditate upon, these three imperatives. The first one, let's look at the first imperative, and that is concerning the kingdom of God. Okay, Jesus Christ, when he began to preach, he always says that the kingdom of God is near. And this is most important because this is most important in the Lord Jesus Christ's message. Everybody in the world must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They must enter into the kingdom of God to be saved. All of us are condemned. We are all heading for the result of sin, our sin. We all will be cast into the lake of fire. That is the damnation of hell. All of us are heading towards that. And so the greatest message to everyone, to all, is not because of money or prosperity in this earth, because they all will become temporary. But most important thing is what? We all must be saved. We all must enter into the kingdom of God. Must. Because none of us will seek God. And so when Jesus Christ came down, because God loves us, he loved us too, he came down and paid the penalty for us. The awful penalty. He died for us, that our sins can be cleansed, completely cleansed and washed away. And only God will accept that payment. And only in that way, when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and that his blood washes, cleanses us from all our sins completely, as if that we have no sin at all, then we can come before. We can approach God and come to God. And that when we can call God our Father, then we can be reconciled with God. Other than that, we cannot. God is our judge, other than that. But once we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, our sins all have been cleansed completely, we can call God, the Almighty God, our Father in heaven. In the Hebrew term is the Abba Father. Abba, Father, means in heaven. What a privilege. Now in this, just only this aspect, how wonderful it is that you and I can call God, the Almighty God, all holy God, all powerful God, who created heavens and earth and everything that is in, this most powerful and most holy God, this dear term, we call him Abba Father, Father in heaven. What a privilege. Therefore, any time when we are in trouble, as the Word of God says, when we are in trouble and in need of help, of grace, we can always approach him, you know. And God is always there to hear our prayers. He will always incline. Whenever, when we pray, especially when we pray according to his will, anything that is for him, for his will, for his glory, God will answer in a most mysterious way. Just today, you see, in the church where I attended True Life Presbyterian Church, they have this big trouble there. And how we prayed, and I prayed, and I heard many people also in praying for them. And how the Lord hears the prayers, how righteous he is, how wonderful it is, the way he does it. Wonderful. And so our Lord Jesus Christ, in all these things concerning the prophetic imperative of the first one, prophetic prophecy concerning the kingdom of God, is all true. When we accept Jesus Christ while he's still on this earth, and then he has promised us that when we die, we will be absent from the body, present with the Lord, and we have entry or entrance into the kingdom of God. Does that excite you? It excites me. On this earth, many of us, some of us enjoy very much, and some of us don't. We think this world is full of trouble. It's a sin-cursed world, and then you are on the bad side of it, and we also suffer. But when we think of what Jesus Christ has promised us who are Christians, that one day you will be in heaven with him, in the kingdom of God. And this is the prophetic imperative here, the first prophetic imperative. So whenever we preach, we tell people of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and if they believe, they are not only saved, but their sins are forgiven, all cleansed completely, and God gave them the Holy Spirit who indwells them. They become a new creation, a new person with new direction. And ultimately, where will they be? In the kingdom of God. If they die before Christ comes, they will be absent from the body, present with the Lord. Even no matter what kind of death they die, how they die on this earth, even a tragic death. For example, recently, a dear brother who is emeritus professor of law, a very brilliant, brilliant man, and suddenly met with an accident. How the lorry from the other side of the road here turned around across the divider and hit into his car, right in the middle where he was sitting. The car overturned, smashed completely. And then in the wake service, many people want to see the body, cannot be seen. The body is so smashed. The sister said the head was split into two and cannot sew back. Smashed completely. So the body was all covered. He's 70 years old, exactly 70, and God took him home. He's present with the Lord. See how wonderful it is. And here it comforts, this truth comforts the bereaved family. I pray, Father, that we pray to Father that his siblings, her siblings, others, four, another four brothers and four sisters, so of them who have not come to believe, may believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they are all well to do. In terms of money on this earth, they have no lack. But Yoklin, Professor Yoklin, is gone to be with the Lord. Tragic death. We say, whoa, so horrible. But death is death. The death is the spirit absent from the body. The body is smashed. But he, the spirit, the soul, is with the Lord. Instantly. And one day he will enter into the kingdom of God. This is the greatest message that we have always. And all of us also have this. All of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ have this entrance into the kingdom of God. We are saved from hell, from the damnation of hell fire. We are delivered from there and to enter into the kingdom of God. How wonderful it is. Now all this is in the future. When God says it is in His power, Jesus Christ says that it is in the power of God, and God will not reveal it. Jesus Christ also said, the time and season, He will come as a thief, He said. And He asked us to be watchful and be prepared for Him. But will it come? How long ago did Jesus Christ make this promise? Almost 2,000 years. He had been preaching all the time, asking people, persuading them to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And that salvation is the cleansing of all sins. You have sins all cleansed. You have now you are reconciled with God. You have peace with God. God is not your enemy anymore. You are a friend of God. You have peace with Him. Anytime you can talk to Him, He loves you all to talk to Him. He loves us all to pray to Him. And how many times we take that for granted? Oh, we took there or say nothing. See, God is so available, you know? And then we belittle that. We should not. We should always treasure the moment, the quiet time, when we keep quiet, when we come into the presence of the most holy, thrice holy God, who is infinitely powerful, the creator of heaven and earth. When we come before His presence, we humble ourselves and plead for Him. He wants us, yes. He knows us, that we are in this world, we are full of trouble. We need plenty of help and grace. And He is better ever willing to help. How wonderful. He is willing to sacrifice His only begotten Son, His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, who are not worthy at all. Will He not give us anything that we ask, especially in His will? He will give us. So let us learn what is His will, and we talk to Him. And the most important thing for all of us and those who are outside is the kingdom of God. To have the right to go into the kingdom of God. And we must therefore be clothed with the Lord Jesus Christ. We must believe in Christ Jesus. That we must appreciate. We must appreciate that. Alright, that's the first imperative. The important thing is that we know we are going to heaven, into the kingdom of God. The point is that how should we live in view of this prospect that we have, that one day when the kingdom of God is here on earth, when we are above or go in heaven, kingdom of God, we know that we will be in the kingdom of God forever and ever. How should we live in view of that? How should we live, conduct ourselves in this world? Well, we do all our things, whatever things we can do, but yet, because our spiritual life and our life on this earth, we should live all for Him. Then we should be able how to conduct ourselves. We thank God that we have this book, His Word, and will teach us how to live, how to go through this life here on this earth, and we follow. How wonderful it is. See, the Christians has everything. You have the Word of God, you have the Holy Spirit in us, and you have the eternal life, the promise of entrance into the kingdom of God. All this we Christians have. No other people have. All non-Christians do not have. Only we have. We have the Word of God to help us how to pray, how to live on this world. And we have the prospect of eternal life, the kingdom, entrance into the kingdom of God, and all that. How wonderful it is to be a Christian. And therefore, as a Christian, whenever you have a trouble and sadness, whenever we are sad, we think of what? I think that I am a Christian. I am saved. And that should overcome, should help us to overcome our distress or sadness. Right. Now look at the second imperative. The disciples asked the Lord Jesus Christ, the apostles, while they have been reading the Old Testaments, and you read in the Old Testament, you read in many of the books, especially in Psalms, Isaiah chapters 11, verse 1 to 5, in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 33, and then in the book of Zechariah, chapter 14. You look, read many of them. They were all being promised, even the book of Psalms, 89. And they were all promised that the kingdom of Israel, where David was the king, and then God says that David's descendants, the greatest son of David, who is none other than Jesus Christ himself, will sit on his throne to rule the world. And the apostles were looking for that. They thought Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He came already. And they had expected the Lord Jesus Christ to overthrow the Roman Empire, the Roman yoke, and place with King David. They were all looking for this. And they thought Jesus Christ, yes, is the Messiah, is the one. But God has his timing, see? And so Jesus Christ told him, when you will restore the kingdom of Israel? And Jesus Christ says, not for you to know. God only knows. And then we read in the New Testament, when the Lord Jesus Christ mentioned about his second coming and all this, the hour and date, we do not know. But we know because Christ promised to come. In the book of Revelation, three times in the book of Revelation, chapter 22, the last book of the Bible, in chapter 22, the last chapter, three times the Lord Jesus Christ says, promise and say again and again and again, behold, I come quickly. I come quickly. I come quickly. Meaning that he will come quickly. He will come. In other words, the kingdom of Israel, where God says, not for you to know when is the time, the seasons, but it does mean that God says that it's not going to happen. It will. It will happen when Christ comes back, when he will rule the world. And every in our Bible study, in our study of the Word of God, we know that when Christ comes back, it is during the millennium period, the 1,000-year reign, where the greatest son of David, who is Christ himself, will rule the world. And that is in fulfillment of God's promise to the nation Israel. And of course, while we are Christians, we are not the Jews, we are not the Jews, Jewish people, we are not Jews, but we are fellow Jews, as you read in the book of the Word of God, in the book of Ephesians, how this the Gentiles also will call into fellowship with Jews. We are now Christian brothers as the Jews. It is a mystery that God has chosen the Jews as a nation, and then when Jesus Christ comes, the doors was open. It was a mystery. It was open to the Gentiles also. They who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, all will be saved. And so the Jews and Gentiles will together be saved. So this is the kingdom of Israel. What is Israel now? after AD 70 up to 1948, the Jews had no nation. There's no nation of Israel. So many thousands of years. And yet in 1948, God gave them back. Miraculously, the Jewish nation was reborn. See, God works in mysterious way. Whatever happened will happen. Because he's sovereign. And so the Jews became reborn as a nation in 1948. Till today. And say another day will come when they will rule on this earth. When the Jews will see Jesus Christ as the Messiah, truly their Messiah. They will repent. And the nation Israel will have. This will be the fulfillment of the second imperative. Yes, the Jews one day will become the superpower in this world. Do you believe? As Christians, we believe because it is the word of God. God says it, God promises it, God will fulfill it. The non-Christians, of course, they don't believe it. Every nation now want to attack Israel. Yes, Israel is nothing. But they have God with it. You cannot fight Israel against God. Cannot. Now we come to the third imperative. And the third imperative is that be witnesses unto me. Jesus Christ says in verse 8. What does he say in verse 8? He says, be witnesses unto me. In Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the most parts of the world. This is another way of saying go and evangelize the world. This is world evangelism. And so the third imperative is what? Is world evangelism. God wants to save many. Where many people, all of us actually, do not want to be saved. None of us seek God. None. N-O-N-E. None. Zero. None want to see. God here wants to give us, and then none of us want to give. And God says what? What, none? Well, we have to choose them. And so God chose some. And God has chosen all of you, all of us here. How wonderful. So about my life and your life, and before we become a Christian, none of us will seek God. You tell me about God, about Jesus Christ, forget it. And God say, don't forget, I want you. And God called you. And God called me. In a special way. Each of us, in a special way, he has called us. And we believe in him. How wonderful. None. And he called a few to believe in him. How wonderful. Now, having said that, Jesus Christ said, he tells us to be witnesses. So he has given us so many. He opened his ears and his power is given us, the Holy Spirit, everything. He said, when the Holy Spirit comes to you, you will have the power. In other words, your words, when you spread the gospel, it is powerful. And the one who hears, who does not believe, And if God wants to save that person, he will believe, because you have told him the gospel. He must hear the gospel. If he doesn't hear the gospel, he doesn't know about Jesus Christ, he cannot believe. And so you are asked to share the gospel about Jesus Christ. And the second part is, salvation is of the Lord. And he will be saved or not be saved is up to God. But we have to deliver the message. And so the message is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's power in that word. That is the most important work of the Christian. Apart from many other work, of course, this, the spreading, a sharing of the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyone who has not believed, is the most important. What is important in this world? When Christ comes back, everything is gone. Everything is wiped clean. And then when we die, we take nothing. Nothing. What do you have? Diamonds? You will be left here on earth. Gold? Also be left here on earth. Even your false teeth also will be left on this earth. Nothing. As Job says, naked came I, naked go I. Yes, how did... When you are born in this world, do you have anything in your hands? You have nothing. A small little baby. Look at you. All naked, nothing. In the same way, you will go back also. When we have finished in this world. Everything here is temporary. I think very few of us, even among Christians, do realize this. Although many times we say that everything is temporary, but does the truth really sink into our mind and our heart? Do we sit down and really think, is truly, really, everything is temporary? If you see a lot of precious things on the table, or your table, and then money and all that, it's good, wonderful. The next thing you must think, they are all temporary. The Bible says even money can have wings, you know. Can have wings. It can fly away anytime. And true. And because of our greed, you know, we invest here, invest in there, invest everything. And sometimes you read in the papers how people overnight, you know, billions of dollars they lost. And become bankrupt. Indeed, his money had wings, fly away. So everything we know is temporary here. And so what is important? See, the people in this world doesn't realize this. Only we as Christians, because God has given us that discernment, that knowledge, that what is important in life, in the end, in the final analysis, are you a Christian or not? Do you have entry into the kingdom of God or not? And that is the most important thing. Because ultimately, that is important. When Christ comes back, where is the next place you want to go? Hell or heaven? Heaven, that means if you're in the kingdom of God, do you have the passport to go there? If you don't have, you go. Another place you go is, and that another place is hell, lake of fire. Ultimately, all your money, everything all gone. You have two places, kingdom of God or hell. So what is important is that is our message to people. May they come to hear. When you tell them the message, of course you cannot save them, but they must know the message. As Romans says, as Paul says in the book of Romans, how can they believe and they don't hear? You let them hear. And the Holy Spirit will save us. You know. That is God's prerogative. But our duty is what? Whenever we have a chance, we share the gospel. If he's a non-Christian, we share the gospel. Simple, just share the gospel. Do you know about Jesus Christ? I'll try to explain here everything. What about Jesus Christ? He loves you. You can turn around and say, oh, you don't come and talk nonsense to me, not fairy tales and all that. But you still keep on. Jesus Christ loves you. And you slowly tell him about his salvation, whether you and I can see, we cannot. We don't have the power. God only has the power. Because in the final analysis, in everything, is the kingdom of God. So you, these three imperatives, they are all there. They are future. But future does mean that it will not happen. It will happen. In God's timing. People said about 2,000 years ago, what, the world is carrying on as usual. Where is Jesus Christ? When is he coming? Now our timing is different, you see. We think of 100 years, or live on to 100 years. What is God's timing? Calculation. In God's word here. 1,000 years, 1,000 years, not 10 years, not 29 years, not 100 years, 1,000 years, 1, 2, 3, 4, count, 1,000 years, equals to how many days? A God in his mercy said, 1,000 years to him, to God, is one day. 24 hours is 1,000 years. 24 hours. Christ has preached the gospel for how many years? 2,000 over years. 2,000 over years, so long ago. As far as God is concerned, 2 days only. 2 days. Gospel was preached 2 days ago. What is another 5 days? Another 5,000 years. The world continue another 5,000 years. God said it's only 2 days. That's why Jesus Christ says the kingdom of God is at hand. As far as God's concerned, it's very near, at hand. 2 days only. But for us, years. 1 day, 1,000 years, 2 days, 2,000 years, I'll be already gone. If you are a Christian, good. You are in heaven. The moment you're absent from the body, you're present with the Lord, what are you? You become an angel. You read scripture carefully. Once a person dies, he's absent from the body and present with the Lord, he becomes an angel. There's no more other relationship. His human relationship is all finished already. Ended. So many of us, sometimes we missed one of our loved ones, let's say, one we love very much, and pass away. And then for the moment, of course, because you are human, you grieve for a while. But after that, you shouldn't. And those who are not related to the person also, they also feel very kasihan. They also grieve. You're not related. No. The person is not your wife or husband or child or anything like that, but just a friend. But he's a good friend, and you grieve so much. And if that person is a Christian, then he doesn't know the Word of God. The Word of God says in Romans very clearly, death strikes, all relationship is gone. No more. And don't think, and like me, I tell myself, don't think, I say, if my wife are going to pass away, already going to be with the Lord already. So when I see her, I will go. When I die, also see her, I will go and say, wow, beloved, my dear wife. You cannot hug her and say, you can hug her, but you cannot say, my dear wife. No. You are now an angel. All of us are going to be angels, you know. Why get ourselves stuck in this world? When we are in this world, of course, we must grieve. It's my friend, my wife, my child. Yes, because we have relationship here in this world. But once it is the death occurs, it's separated. One has translated into heaven already. Become an angel, just like all the other angels. That is the hope, the knowledge of Christians. Christians know this all through the Word of God. And we will live according to the Word of God. You see? We have so many things. So we have the Holy Spirit in us. We have the Word of God. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and all this. And we have so many hopes. The hope of resurrection, the hope of the kingdom of God. Everything is for us. Because we are Christians, because we believe in Jesus Christ. How important it is to believe and acknowledge Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, who gave his life for us, who need no sin, but gave his life for us, who are not worthy to be saved. How wonderful it is. So Christians, you have all these things. Christians are the most wonderful thing that happened to them in their life on this earth. And all because God loves you. And God has saved you. May what we have learned today from Acts 1 to 8 remain in us. And may it change and transform our life. Now you can go back and then you live your life in a better way. You got new direction, new desires, new hopes. And at the end, Christian will not be afraid to die. For the moment, yes, we were afraid. But we know. Because when we die, we are absent from the body, present with the Lord. And we are present with the Lord, we become angels. God has made us angels. How wonderful it is. Let us all be encouraged. Let us pray. Our Father,